Amen. You know, David is king. He's been anointed king. He's somewhere between 14 and 16 years old right now. We're going to see him come out. He's king, but he doesn't get to sit on the throne. He's been in the palace playing a little bit of music, good musician. But he doesn't get to sit on the throne. Many times you may have a calling in your life and you think, well, when am I going to get to sit on the throne? Trust him, be faithful, do what he says, and just wait and watch. When it's time for you to be there, you'll be there. I always am in such a hurry. What's that old saying? Lord, give me patience, but I want it now. Hurry. David is king, but he's out working with the sheep still. Now the Philistines gathered together, this is chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, verse 1, they gathered together their armies to battle, and they were gathered, the Bible says, together at Shokoth, which belongs to Judah, and pitched between Shokoth and Azekah in Ephes Damim. Those are some of your favorite cities, aren't they? Right there. A little north of Jerusalem. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they pitched by the valley of Elah. And they set the battle in array against Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. Now don't visualize, but understand what, just get a picture in your head. One side we have Israel, one side we have Philistines, and in the middle is where they plan to have the battle. You can see each other very well from both sides of the hills. They're up a little bit on the higher ground, and you're going to come down to the valley, and that's where everybody will fight. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath. He was, the city where he comes from is the city of Gath. And he was a champion, meaning a great warrior, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Or in American, well over 9 foot. Some people say he might have been 11 foot tall. Well over 9 foot tall. Even if a cubit is only 18 inches, as some people say. Now that guy could play basketball. And he was a champion. He had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, the metal. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. Well over 9 foot tall, the coat of mail weighed about 125 pounds. He had to be big just to carry that stuff around. He had greaves of brass that would protect his legs, almost like a catcher does in pro baseball. From the knee down, he was shin guards of brass is what he was wearing. And a target of brass between his shoulders, a big plate. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, large. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. The tip, the iron of his spear was a little over 15 pounds. Just a piece of iron on the end. That must have been a heavy thing to throw and to carry around. And one bearing a shield went before him. You know, what I just read to you is one of the more specific descriptions of an individual that you'll find in the entire Bible. God really specifically wanted to show you how big and how bad Goliath was. You don't see that kind of description about Saul. What do you know about him? Good looking and tall. David, redheaded and good looking. Esther, beautiful. Goliath, this tall, this strong, wearing all this stuff. God is trying to make a point. And the point he's trying to make is Goliath was large. Big. Really big. And he stood, verse 8, and he cried unto the armies of Israel. He came down into the down to the valley there, and he would cry out to the armies, why are you come out to set your battle in array? How come your armies are set up to fight? Am not I a Philistine? Aren't you servants of Saul? That's a spit in their face. That's a slap to them. What he's saying is, aren't you Saul's slaves? I'm a Philistine. Aren't you slaves of Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. I'm down here. You come down. Send one. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your slaves. But if I win against him and kill him, you shall be our slaves and serve us. That's a fair thing. Why put all these armies to such a hassle? A lot of people are going to die if we get into a fight here. Why don't we just settle this man to man? I'll come down here, and you send one, you can choose him out, and we'll fight one another. And whoever wins, that's the army that wins. Can we trust the Philistines? Well, of course not. But it does sound like a good deal. A lot of lives could be saved, possibly. And the Philistine, I can do this. Wait. He said, I defy the armies of Israel today, right now. Give me a man that we may fight together. What was the response from Israel? When Saul and all Israel heard the words of Philistine, they were scared and hiding, greatly afraid. He's so big. I mean, he's big. How big? God just described to you. He is large. And he means business. And he comes down and he says, come on. Come down now. I'll fight whoever you send. What was the response from the brave men of Israel? You go fight him, man. Go. You're pretty tough. Well, I've been feeling a little sick. I can't. My foot is. I think my foot's asleep now. I couldn't go out there like this. I got a wife and kids. You're ugly. You'll never have a wife. You go fight them. You can imagine what was going on. I'm not going out there. Are you crazy? Look at the size of him. He looks tall and he's 100, 200 yards away. 300 yards away. He looks big way over there. I couldn't imagine walking up to him. I don't think I could throw a spear that high. You go get him. I'm not going to get him. They hid. Who was the tallest man in all of Israel? Saul. And where's Saul? Hiding. There's a leader for you. There's somebody you want to follow from now on, isn't there? Well, where's the guy in charge? I think that's him under that rock. You all right down there? It's all right. Okay. All right? Now David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. David's dad was Jesse. He had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. He's been around a long time. He's getting old. He's got 8 boys. And the 3 oldest, Jesse, went out and they followed Saul. They went to a battle with Saul. And the names of his 3 sons, and you've met them before, they went to battle there. They were Eliab, the firstborn. The next was Abinadab, and the third was Shammah. You met them earlier when Samuel thought, oh, they're going to be king, but they weren't. And David was the baby. He was the youngest. And the 3 elder ones followed Saul. David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Remember he was playing music? Now the Bible says he went and returned. In American, you and I would say he went back and forth. He would go and take care of the sheep for a while, come on back when Saul had evil spirits, play a little bit of his rock and roll, go on back and do some more sheep. He would go back and he would go forth. He went and returned is what the Bible says. And the Philistine, verse 16, drew near morning and evening and presented himself twice a day for 40 days. This didn't just happen once. This tall dude came out 2 times a day for 40 days. Is anything going to happen here? This has been going on now over a month. Aren't you tired enough to have somebody go out there and do something? Like try and sell him something or change your mind? How long are both armies going to stand there and look at each other with dirty looks? 40 days is a long time. You're using up a lot of food, a lot of energy. I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to have a fight or not? And Goliath says, come on. Let's just do this and get it over with.
Well, Jesse said to David, his youngest, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to your brothers." See, the military is different in those days. It did travel on its stomach, but a lot of times it wasn't provided by the government. Families were bringing food to their own families, and then they would share among themselves. "Carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000. And look how your brothers are doing, and take their pledge. Go take some food to your brothers, give this to the captain so he can share, see how your brothers are doing, and bring me back something from them to prove to me that they're all right." That's David's assignment. David is between 14 and 16 years old. Now, Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the Valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. Well, that doesn't mean they were fighting. They were ready for battle for a long time. "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper." Are you a Bible underliner? Did he leave the sheep by themselves? No, he left the sheep with a shepherd. The keeper, in this, the same language would say, an overseer or a shepherd. He didn't leave his responsibilities. And neither should you nor I. There are times when God says to me, "Go do this." Well, if my responsibility is this, I need to leave this in good hands, in theory. When you have a responsibility and then God says, "All right, for tomorrow I want you to go do this." Well, what you're doing here needs to be left in good hands. Don't just drop it and leave it alone. Many people start ministries and then they get all caught up over here and they drop what's happening here. People come to us pretty regularly and say, "Why don't we do this?" And we tell them the reason that we don't is because as soon as you get your feelings hurt or you get tired, that ministry is going to be dropped and someone is going to have been depending on you by that time. And you're going to let them down. Or you're going to drop it in our laps when we're not called or capable possibly to do it. So David was a good shepherd at between 14 and 16. He had someone take care of the sheep. And now he goes to do what his dad has called him to do. "And he took and went, as Jesse had commanded him." This is verse 20 continuing. "And he came to the trench, as the host was going forth to fight." Notice the army set up in battle array every day. They never did fight, but they at least went out there to look at each other and say, "Oh yeah, you think you're so tough?" You know how they talk back and forth, yelling and calling each other names? Yeah. "For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army." Nothing ever happened, but they showed their stuff. "David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and he ran to the army and came and saluted his brothers." Says hello to his older brothers. "And as he talked with them, behold, the champion Goliath came on out to make his challenge. Came out of the armies of the Philistines and spoke according to the same words." And David happened to be there. It got his attention. He stopped and he listened to the challenge. "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they ran from him and were afraid." There comes Goliath, look out! So you can imagine hundreds of thousands of men, or at least tens of thousands, running away from this tall guy. It's got to be funny looking. Christians do it every day and we laugh. But can you imagine, one guy comes out, thousands running high behind their tent. They know what he's going to say, but they run anyway. Because they were sore afraid. "And the men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel.'" Hey, have you seen Goliath? For sure, he's here just to come against Israel, to stand and defy Israel. Do you hear the mentality? Remember that mentality. Because that mentality is hurting some of you now. Many times we get into that mentality and that's how we're being beaten. That's how we're afraid. That's why we're hiding right now from the call that God has given to us. Now, he says, or they say, "Surely he came to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will make him rich with great riches, will give him his daughter to marry, and make his father's house free in Israel." Meaning, won't have to pay taxes ever again. The king will make you rich. Anybody that's willing to go out there and fight Goliath, you'll be rich for the rest of your days. You'll marry the king's daughter, which puts you in a royal place. And your family will be free from paying taxes forever. Pretty good deal. not worth dying over, obviously, because nobody's taking him up on the deal. And David spoke to the men that stood by him. They said, "What shall be done to the man that kills the Philistines and takes away the reproach from Israel?" Listen closely. "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Do you notice the difference in attitude? Wait a minute. He's defying Israel. David says, he's defying the armies of the living God. This is against God here. Wait a minute. My God is big. My God is awesome. Who would dare do that to the Lord my God? Isn't somebody going to say something? Do you notice? He cares about God. Everybody else cares about numero uno. I'll make you rich. Not important enough, man. David doesn't care about money. He says, who is this guy that he would say that about the armies of the living God? Isn't somebody going to do something? Oh, shut up, little kid. Isn't that the way it goes sometimes when someone of you speaks up and says, wait a minute, they're speaking against God. And people go, oh, sit down, you're rocking the boat. Sit down. Well, the people answered after this manner, and they said, so shall it be done to the man that kills him. In other words, that's exactly what will happen. The king will make you rich, you'll get to marry his daughter, and your family will never have to pay taxes again. And Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him when he asked the question, when he was speaking to the men. And Eliab was angry. And what this anger is a jealousy. I want to do something. Isn't somebody going to do something? And his older brother is a little bit embarrassed that he isn't that brave. So he gets mad at David. And he says, what did you come out here for? And who did you leave that few sheep with? You left those sheep alone, didn't you? Notice he's accusing him of not taking care of his responsibilities. I know your pride and the naughtiness of your heart. You've just come out to see how the battle's going. You just want to look and see what the big guys are doing. That's what he's saying. David said, what have I done now? See how brothers are? Is there not a cause? Hey, my dad sent me here to bring you food. Remember, you just got through eating. My dad told me to get off my back. He wasn't rude with him, but he was pretty firm. Hey, I didn't do anything. I did what I've been told to do. And the sheep, by the way, are being taken care of. Don't you worry about them. That's my job. So, he turned from his brother toward another and spoke after the same manner. And the people answered him again. He checked around is what he was doing. And when the words were heard which David spoke, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. When they heard what David was talking about, and they mentioned it to Saul, Saul said, send that kid on in here. And David said to Saul, now listen closely, let no man's heart fail because of that giant. Don't let that guy scare you. Your servant will go fight with this Philistine. Now you think about that. And remember your heart and your attitude at 15 years old. Don't you let any of these big men worry. I'll go out there and fight that huge monster. Why is David going to fight? Well, so his family won't have to pay tax. No. So he can marry Michael. Saul's not. No. So he'll be rich and famous. No. Because somebody is defying the armies of the living God. And David has a heart for God. He just can't believe all of Israel hasn't gone out there and every one of them stepped forward and said, I'll take that guy. Who is he standing against the Lord our God? I wonder sometimes, do we love God? I wonder if we do, with all the things that go on around us on a daily basis. Do we love Him? Standing up sometimes seems like you could be signing your death warrant, doesn't it? You're going to go out there? You're just a kid. You want to live to see 16? And Saul says that. Don't let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to fight this Philistine. You are but a youth, and he is a man of war
from his youth. He's been fighting for years and years, way before you were born. You can't go out there. You're just a kid. How many of you have been told in your life, in your ministry, you can't do that, you're not up to it. You can't do that, you don't know how. You can't do that, you're too young in the Lord. David said to Saul, you know, your servant, I kept my father's sheep. That's my job. That's what I do. I watch the sheep for my dad. And there was a time when a lion came. And there was a time when a bear came. And they took a lamb out of the flock. Each one of them, at different times, literally took a lamb away. And I went out after him. I killed him. And took the lamb right out of his mouth. One time a lion, and one time a bear. Those are pretty tough critters. And when the animal rose against me, I caught him by the beard, smote him, and killed him. Your servant killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be just like one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. He's not saying I'm good at what I do. He's saying, I've handled these kind of things before, and I know where the strength comes from. You just let me go on out there. God is going to do something. That takes faith. Not stupidity. Faith. You and I have got to begin to believe God means what He says. If He means what He says, my life needs to change. And also, I need to step out and be a little bit more bold in the things that He's called me to do. When others say it can't be done, all I have to say is, if God says it can, then it can. That's a rare quality. But it's in you. If you belong to Jesus Christ, it's there. The power of the Holy Spirit is there. We learn to walk. And David says, I've got experience. No, I'm not a warrior. That's right, I am a kid. But when I'm given an assignment and there was trouble, I handled it. And it's against the armies of God. It's God. You notice he's pointing to God. And he says this, look, the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. Who delivered me from that lion and from the bear? The wild beasts. God Himself delivered me, David says. And He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. I know He will. And Saul said to David, then go and God be with you. There, you know, sometimes I think that's a very unbrave thing for the king to say. Now he's been reminded who can do anything. Maybe he should say, you know what, David, you're right. I don't know why I didn't think about it. I am the king. I should go out there. God can do anything. But instead he says, okay, 15-year-old, 16-year-old, go for it. We're behind you all the way. God bless you. And Saul armed David with his armor and put on a helmet of brass on his head. And he armed him with a coat of mail, that metal, to protect him. David put the sword on upon his armor, and he tried to go, but he couldn't do it. For he had not proved it. He put all Saul's stuff on, and he couldn't do it. He couldn't move very well. It's too big for me. I don't know how to use this. What would I do with it? I'd cut myself. It's so sharp, this sword. Don't pretend to be something that you're not. There's a danger in that. Don't pretend to be something you're not. Do what God has called you to do. But sometimes you say, I don't know how to use this sharp sword here. What I have is this stick and I'm so used to this. I'll go out there and just see what God wants to do. People say, you can't do that with a stick. Listen, it's all I know how to do. Your life has not been a waste of time. Some of you are musicians. Some of you are artists. Some of you are nothing. Some of you are gifted in business. Some of you are just gifted mentally, and you can multiply until all the cows come home, and you know how many there are, divided by 3 and the square root of 9. And you say, well, that's a waste of time. I play music. Boy, that's a waste of time. All I can do is build things. Boy, that's a waste of time. How am I going to fight God's battles if all I have is a stupid sling against somebody like that? Listen, I know how to use that. It may sound silly. It may sound childish. It may sound useless against this great warrior, but I know how to use it. God hasn't wasted my life. He's taught me some things. He's taught you some things. And you can use those if you're willing to trust Him. Don't believe for one moment that your tools are weak and worthless. No, what you can do can be used by God. And David says, I can't use this equipment. I know this is the kind of equipment you're supposed to use, but I have to admit to you, I don't know how. I'm not capable. It would be false. It really wouldn't be me. I'd get myself killed in an instant. Don't pretend to be something that you're not. Humbly just say, I'll serve you. And that's what David says. David girded the sword and said, I can't go. And David says this unto Saul, I cannot go with these. I haven't tested them. And David took them off. And he took his staff. There it is. He's got a stick that shepherds would use in his hand. And he chose 5 smooth stones out of the water brook there. He went down and he picked out 5 smooth stones. He knows what he's doing with a sling. That's what he uses. That's what he's been practicing. You know, you sit there and you can only play your harp for so many hours every day. And the sheep are just breathing and eating, and that's all the sheep do. What do? He writes music, and he takes a little sling, and he says, okay, David, see if you can hit that stick right there in the end. Boom! Up close. And soon, he's really good with that thing, because his whole life, he thinks, is being wasted. All I ever do is play music and sling these rocks. Do you know something? Wait a minute. He was really good at both, wasn't he? He was really good at both. So why did he pick 5 rocks? Did he plan to like hit him in the knee? And while he bent over, then hit him in the chest, and then while he go, oh, and then hit him in the face? What did he plan? I believe, according to 2 Samuel, that he did have a plan. He went out to fight this uncircumcised Philistine, and he took 5 smooth stones. Why? I believe David planned to hit Goliath with the first one. What are the 4 others for? Well, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, we read Goliath had 4 sons. They were in that army. They were all full grown and in that army. What do you think David was expecting? Goliath wasn't just met lately. He's had a reputation. He's been a warrior for years. He's got a family. And David, I believe, knew he had those sons. Because later on, David's going to end up killing all 4 of them. Not today, but later on in 2 Samuel. I think David was expecting, if I do this to their dad, they're not going to take it laying down. So I'd better be ready. So what I'm telling you is there's a spiritual lesson here. You use what God has given you. You use your abilities. But look ahead and prepare. See. Know what's going on around you. Pay attention. So that you're ready for these simple little things like somebody having a lot of kids. Well, David took off the staff and took his staff, chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in the shepherd's bag, and when he had, even in the scrip, or the one he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he went out to the Philistine. And of course, the Philistine came on, drew near to David, and the man that bare his shield went before him. So he has an armor bearer, Goliath has. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he made fun of him. He was even offended because David was just a kid, ruddy, meaning redheaded, and really cute, good looking. Philistine said to David, he yells at him, says, am I a dog? You come out to me with a stick? What are you going to do with that stick? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods.
And the Philistine said to David, verse 44, "You come over here. I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. Come on over here. I'll kill you." There's a nice thought. Goliath said, "You come here and I will kill you." In other words, let's just get this over with. Now look what David says. David says to this Philistine, David says, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." I come in the name of the Lord, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. You aren't just defying these armies, these men here. You are standing against and challenging and defying God Almighty Himself. I'm not coming to you. You're coming to me with swords and spears. I come to you in the power of God. And that's how I believe David knows he's going to win. Because if it's you against me, I'll lose every time. But if it's you against God, I have not got a question about who's going to win. Anybody who stands against God will lose. Anybody. God is so big, He's even taller than 9 foot at times. He could even defeat a giant. See, God is so big, nothing can stop Him. Nothing can stand in His way. I am so little, everything stops Him. A lousy comment crushes me for 3 straight weeks. That's how strong I am. But you know, somebody calls God a name and He don't even stop functioning. He doesn't quit and leave heaven. He still keeps on, doesn't He? "Oh God, you're so stupid." God keeps on. No matter what people say about God. "He doesn't even exist. If you're up there, show us. Do something." God just keeps on working, doesn't He? He is big. Nobody scares Him. He is not intimidated. He is not frightened. He is never surprised. And He doesn't worry. Are you like Him? Well, practically. Except for all that list you just mentioned. Other than that, I'm just like Him. He is God. And so David says, "You come out in full battle gear here. I just come to you in the name of the Lord. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I'm going to hit you and I'm going to take your head from you. I'm going to hit you and cut your head off." How are you going to do that? You don't even have a sword. How are you going to take my head off, little kid? Can you imagine what Goliath must have been thinking? How can you? You're going to take my head off. What are you going to use? A rock? Have to throw it pretty hard to knock my head off. He says, "I'm going to take your head off. I'm going to give your body, and I'm going to give the bodies of the armies of Philistines today to the birds to eat. And to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God. I don't want the money. I'm not doing this for marriage. I'm not doing this for tax exemption. I want everybody to know God is big. And so that everyone will turn to God. Everyone will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want them to see what Jesus can do. So when we do this, the whole world is going to go, wow, God is big. Woo. And all this assembly shall know what the Lord, or that the Lord saves not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands." Everyone, this whole assembly, my armies, the armies of God, your armies, everyone's going to know God doesn't need swords and spears. God can do anything. Now, do you believe that? Is it really true? Or have you given up on certain situations? "Oh, so-and-so will never like me. So-and-so will never hire me. God will never, it'll never..." Wait a minute. Do you really believe God can do anything? He says, "I want the world to know what God can do." We all want the world to see and to know how powerful God is. But the trouble is,
for the world to see how powerful he is, we're going to have to do something. It's going to take us stepping up, putting our lives on the line, and what if he doesn't come through?
I know people today are worried that God's going to let them down. Has he ever, ever let you down? Has he ever not kept his word? The answer to that is, he has never gone back on his word. Now, there have been times when he didn't do what you wanted. He didn't do what I said. But never yet has he gone back on his word. Never, ever. And he won't. He promised me, I never will go back on my word. If I said it, you can bank on it. Since we're all into banking and gold. If he said it, it is worth more than gold. That's what you want to purchase. You want to begin to really start saving that up. What he said, his promises, save those up. They're going to come in and pay off. Everything else probably will crash sooner or later. Well, came to pass when the Philistine arose, and he drew nigh to David, or drew nigh to meet David, that David hurried, ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Little David, you would think when Goliath starts coming at him, David might back up a little bit and say, okay, I better get ready. Instead, he runs toward this big dude. Now, I think, probably in his mind, he's thinking, there is nowhere to run to. You're already in this over your ears. You might as well just go for it. Have you been there yet? I've done it in my life. There are times when I've gotten my mouth is sort of overloaded everything, and there I'm standing in the big middle with my face hanging on. I go, I gotta go now. I might as well just go for this because I'm stuck here. Now, he probably wasn't thinking that. I mean, really, with faith, he thought, let's just do this. God can do it. So, as Goliath comes toward him, he runs toward Goliath. And as he's running, David put his hand in the bag, took out one stone, and he slung it, and he hit the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. One hit, and he's down. Big, huge, giant. One hit, and he's face down on the ground. Or back, however he fell, but he fell. David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a little rock. He smote the Philistine, slew him. But there was no sword in David's hand. Now David said, you know, I told him I was going to cut his head off. So David ran, stood on top of the Philistine, stood on him, took out Goliath's sword out of his sheath, and cut his head off with his own sword. Well, he had to. David didn't have a sword. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they ran away. And the men of Israel and of Judah got up, shouted, and pursued the Philistines. Saul's going to take credit for this too. You can expect that. I'm the king. We whooped them. You should have seen them running. Oh, I was laughing at them. Where were you when David went out there? I was behind that rock. I was watching, though, just in case. If things were going to get tough, I'd have gone out there and helped him. You've heard that one, haven't you? We were with you. I mean, if things would have fallen apart, we'd have come on out there. Right, right. I've heard that one. Well, they pursued the Philistines until you come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wound of the Philistine fell down by the way to Searim, and to Gath, and to Ekron. On the way down, they're headed south. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. Well, you know, he wanted to show his dad, basically, what happened today. How are you going to tell your dad what you did? Well, I'll show him. Look. That's nice to bring home. Cats do that, you know, they bring. But David, he's going to do that. And he put Saul's armor in his tent. And when Goliath. And when Saul saw David go forth against Philistine, he said to Abner, the captain of his hosts, what's this kid all about? Whose kid is this? I don't know. The king said, check out. Whose son is this young lad? And David, as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him, brought him to Saul, and the head of the Philistine in his hand, still hanging on to Goliath's head. Saul said to him, whose son are you, young man? David said, I'm the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Now Saul knew, but Saul's looking at him thinking, what is this kid all about? I don't understand this kid. Where are you from? What are you all about? Is your dad like this? What kind? Who's your dad? What's he like? I thought I knew this.
Well, you're going to find out that this particular instance is going to cause David a lot of grief, because Saul's going to be more jealous than ever. But we'll get to that some other time. Now think about this for a moment. It's a story you've heard over and over. There are spiritual lessons for you and I in it as we close. What do people tell you? This is a story about big guys and little guys. This is a story about big guys being able to do big things, but little guys can do big things too. No, it isn't. Not at all. It's got nothing to do with that. But that's usually what's taught. You know what it's got to do with? It's got to do with each one of us who are truly born again. The spiritual lessons are simple. Goliath represents to us our problems. Spiritually. He represents to us our obstacles. Things that are in our way. He represents to us our enemy. The things that we have to deal with all the time. Some of you right now are dealing with something, and in your mind, it is too big. And it is threatening you even. Daily, regularly, it's bugging you. It's causing ulcers in some of you. It's there, and you're saying, it's too big. It's going to get me, and it's threatening me. And I'm hiding. I'm trying to get away from it. That's why Christians are running, and they're running to this teaching, and they're running to that teaching, and they're looking for little secret formulas on how to handle their emotions, and how to handle their this, and how to handle when their computer breaks, and how to handle when all this is going to happen. We're starting to run and look for different things to hide behind. What rock are you under? And someone comes along and looks at you and says, hey, that uncircumcised Philistine, that giant, wait a minute, what give? Don't let that stop you. Somebody do something. He's defying the Lord God. God's too big for this. Someone should go out there and take this. Don't worry. Trust God. David, Goliath represents our problems, our obstacles, our enemies. Because we all have them at different times. And some of them, you have to admit, sure are big. And I think that's why God gives us such a description of Goliath. Because God wants us to see this was just insurmountable. And I know some of you say, I've got some troubles. I've got some situations. And it is so big. It's insurmountable. It can't be gotten over. It can't be dealt with. I'm hiding from it. Goliath represents our problems, our obstacles, our enemies. David simply represents a true believer in Jesus Christ. It's that simple. Not being little, being big, but trusting in God who is almighty. Big things happen when people trust in the Lord their God. You've seen miracles take place in the Bible, maybe out in the world where you work. You've seen people come to the Lord that you would have thought never would come to the Lord. You've seen situations change. You've seen attitudes and lives change. And now you maybe have seen someone, you say, that can't happen here. It cannot be. It's too big. It's too large. It's too severe. It's too far gone. And someone comes along and says, wait a minute. Wait a minute, who does that uncircumcised Philistine think he is? God can handle this. And I know I've told you before, and I'll tell you again before we close, that When the Philistine or when the Israeli armies looked at Goliath, they said, "He is too big to beat." I've told you this before. He's too big to beat. Some of you are looking that way. This is a situation in my life, and it is too big to tackle, to beat. I can't do it. David looks at Goliath and says, "He is too big to miss." Isn't that true? He's so big I couldn't miss. I can't use this sword, but I know what I'm doing with this sling. There's no way you miss something that big. I've hit little branches. I'll knock him out by the power of God. How are you looking at what you're looking at? My life's never going to change. We're never going to get out of this trouble. No one's ever going to... Wait a minute. He's so big, we can't miss it. That God can do anything with that. That's what I believe we need to be looking at. Now, I'm not talking about positive confession. I don't think that's wisdom. Teaching through the church years ago, it's still around. It's sad that it's still around. But you'd say, they say, "How are you doing?" You say, "You know, my nose is kind of stopped up. I'm feeling like I got a cold." "Oh, Bob, oh, don't say that. Oh, you're claiming it. Satan's going to defeat you. You got to claim your healing." So your nose is running, your eyes are running, your head is all stopped up. And they say, "How do you feel?" And you're supposed to go, "Fine, I'm fine." "You're what?" "I'm fine. I feel fine." "Can you breathe?" "Yes, I can breathe." Because I don't want to say, "No, I can't breathe." Because if I say I can't breathe, that's a negative confession. Anybody ever tell you that? Don't make a negative confession. Listen, David said, "I know Saul is going to catch me and he will kill me." What happened? It was a negative confession. What happened? Saul never called him, never killed him. It's got nothing to do with what's being confessed, positive or negative. Some of you are salespeople. You don't start confessing that roles. That's not the key. That's not how it works. You start claiming promises. It's a big difference. What can my God do? Anything. What does He want to do? I don't know. I'm going to ask Him. I will ask Him. Tell me what you want to do. Tell me what you want me to do. If you want this done, what part do you want me to handle? I can't use a sword. I got a stick though. You come on, bring your stick. I have a pencil. Bring your pencil. I have like this tissue paper. Bring it. We'll take the armies in our street clothes. Hey, you take a look at Gideon's army. What did they use? Pottery? A trumpet? And a light. What was their job? Break the pottery, hold the light up, and blow the trumpet. Can you handle it? "No, you want me to like go rip them out? I've been studying. I can tear his throat out." "No, I want you to blow your trumpet and break this pottery. Really loud, though. You got to break it loud. You only get one shot at throwing it down and smashing it, so throw it hard. Don't you want me to fight or anything?" "No, break your pottery." "That's stupid. I'm not going to be a part." Okay, could someone come along willing to break their pottery? Because if you break your pottery, we're going to defeat the entire army. 250,000 or more are going to run if you'll break your pottery. Stupid, I'm not going to do it. Today, men and women and young people, that's embarrassing. I'm not going to tell someone about Jesus. There's got to be a more powerful way to bring people to the Lord. No, telling them is how God has chosen to bring them to a saving knowledge. You telling them, "Here's what Jesus says. Here's what He's done in my life. Do you want Him to do that in yours? Yes or no?" "No." "Okay, you. Here's what Jesus says. Here's what He's done in my life. Do you want Him to do it in yours?" "Yes, I would love that." "Cool." Right? Now you say, "It's too simple." That's why it's so simple, because God knew we couldn't handle it any other way. He kept it that simple. What are you going through? Is it a big giant who's really a warrior who you think cannot be beaten, and he's been threatening you for months, for years, maybe 2 and 3 times a day? It's been coming around and you're just defeated and you're hiding and you're shaking, sore afraid. Begin to remember that you stand up for the things of God. You trust God. You listen to God. He will not let you fall. Don't do it on your own. Don't do it for your own. Become a man or a woman or a young person who is interested in the things of God. That's not going to be popular as time goes on.
Churches won't grow from that kind of teaching. They'll shrink. Kind of a hard thing for some of us to accept. I hate that, but I know it's true. Churches won't grow when you want to stand in that kind of power and that kind of authority. Churches sort of, because it requires commitment. It requires a heart. We'd rather see signs, wonders, miracles. We don't want to just get in there and go out to the battle. Someone's got to, so that others will see Jesus. You pray about it. And if there's a giant now in your life, an obstacle, an enemy, a problem of some kind that's big, begin to cry out to God and let's see what He can do with it. Let's pray. Father, we studied